today, turn with me in your Bibles. We're going to start off. We're going to go on a little bit of a journey right here. And we're going to see the example that Jesus gave us in order for us to mirror that example. He gave us a way to go through it. The Bible talks about that in Psalm 119, verse 105, that your word is like a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. Jesus gave us even a way, a light, step by step by step light that we can go through life. And he modeled it so that we have a way to go through life in a way that is calling on the strength of the Holy Spirit and calling on everything that Jesus did for us to the glory of our God and Father. Luke chapter 5, starting off at verse 12. And the Bible says, While he was in one of those cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. And verse 16, but he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word, Father God, Lord, is even being propelled by the Holy Spirit. We're thanking you, Father God, that it's the anointing that teaches us. We're thanking you that we're riding a wave. It's the wave of your word upon our hearts. Father, our hearts, Father, we're declaring are open and receptive by even a choice that we make. We choose to be open to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Holy Spirit, take your word. Speak to our hearts today. We're thanking you for it in Jesus' name. So we're seeing that Jesus, he was in one of the cities, and he went to many cities, and he came to one city, and there was a man full of leprosy. He was the one that people knew, don't talk to that guy, you'll get sick. Don't talk to that guy, man, he's diseased. Don't talk to that guy, there's something wrong with that guy. Stay away from that guy. So you had a man that's profoundly sick, a man that's very rejected, a man that's hopeless, and he comes to Jesus not even knowing for sure if Jesus would help him. Lord, if you are willing, please, I'm hoping that you are willing. And so Jesus says to him, "I am willing." And so he stretched out even in the power of God, and he healed the man of his leprosy. So he said to the man, "Don't tell anybody. Keep this quiet. Keep it between you and I." I'm paraphrasing it, Randy, but that's what he's saying is, don't tell everybody. And so what does the guy do? "Hey, guess what Jesus just did? Wow, this is amazing. Oh, my goodness. Wow, Randy, guess what happened? Kat, guess what happened? Oh, Denise, guess what happened to me? Oh, my goodness." Oops, he said not to tell everybody. Now that I've told about 129 people, and they tell 129, they told 129, 129 told 129, we see that there was great multitudes now that were coming to Jesus. The man did exactly what he was told not to do, and huge multitudes were coming to Jesus. And verse 15, let's look at that again. But now even more, the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. So how does Jesus respond to that? There is a huge pressure now upon him. There's a magnanimous crowd. There's a big crowd. They're coming with all kinds of needs. They're coming with all kinds of things. Man, it's a stressor just thinking about that. When all the people come in, sometimes they come in the king's way, and you know, they're struggling in life, and the price of food is crazy, and maybe somebody doesn't have any boots, and somebody else needs diapers, and there's all kinds of things. Man, I'm living out on a mountain, the side of the mountain. Can you give me a blanket? There's all kinds of needs that come into the king's way. And it sometimes is just really big to deal with. But Jesus was dealing with something on a huge level. It was a huge multitude, all kinds of needs and wants and infirmities and all these different things. And how did he respond? Verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. So that word, and he would withdraw, it's talking about in the original, it's habitual. If you look in the original language, him withdrawing, it wasn't just that one time or a few times. It was a habit. It was a habit that he cultivated. It was a habit that he did. It was a habit that governed his life. It was something that he knew that he had to do that. And the interesting thing is, who is the one who tells us about this? It's Luke. Why is that interesting? Well, Luke, when he wrote his gospel, he highlighted on the humanity of Jesus. He highlighted on that Jesus was fully man. And we saw that he was fully God and fully man. But Luke's inspiration that came from the Holy Spirit was to let us know that Jesus was fully man. Although he was, yes, fully God, we're not contesting that. Luke is painting part of the picture. And sometimes you might have part of a picture and you might think that this is the picture, but it's only part of the picture. And sometimes we can argue, and sometimes we can get into fights, and sometimes we don't understand somebody else with another part of the picture. But Luke's part of the picture was to highlight in a great way that he was the God-man. He was highlighting his humanity. And others may have highlighted the aspect of his deity, and they may have highlighted that. We see in part and we know in part. So if you're at a place where you have revelation on an area, don't judge those that don't walk in the same revelation, because the revelation that you have is for this time and this purpose right now. And the revelation you'll get later will complement the revelation that you have. That's why we need to be a body. That's why we grow together. That's why the Lord needs the hand to communicate with the other hand, where he needs the leg to communicate with the other leg. There's something wonderful when the body works together and stays in unity to be the body. That's what it's all about. So Luke's part in the midst of this, maybe he was a hand. Well, he's telling us about Jesus' humanity in the midst of his divinity. So what is he saying? That Jesus, the way that he handled all the pressures in his life as the God-man, as a man, Jesus knew it was absolutely essential for him to go to the Father in desolate places habitually, is what that word in the original points to. So Jesus habitually, all the time, regular basis, kept going, kept drawing from the well. Now, you know what crowds are like. You know what people can be like. We don't know what the disciples are saying. The disciples are saying, Jesus, don't you see this people? Where are you? The mayor is here. Andrea Horvath is here right now. Doug Ford's over there. Jesus, come on, you gotta come. Even ministered to the crowd. Oh my goodness, there's a couple of the Blue Jays, the Toronto Blue Jays. Some of them have come here. Jesus, come. But Jesus knew his priority was not the stresses of life. He knew his priority wasn't the to-do list. He knew his priority wasn't the things that were pressuring him to do. He didn't live a life out of pressure. He didn't live a life that he was forced to do A, B, and C because of the pressure of the crowd. He wasn't moved by the pressure of the disciples. He wasn't moved by the things that were on a horizontal plane, the things of living life daily. No, in the midst of it, he says, I'm going to step back because I know in my humanity, I habitually need to draw from my Father. So in order for me to do the will of my Father, in order to see people healed, in order to see the blind's eyes open, I need to tap into the power that has been given to me from my Father. So Jesus is saying something very, very profound in the midst of this scripture right here. So when the pressures of life come knocking on your door, when the pressures of life are crying out for your attention, when they're screaming at you, there's something that even a habitual prayer life is what he's saying. This is a place that I myself walked in. And if Jesus needed to walk in that place, how much more you and I to establish right priorities in the midst of the life that we are living in right now. To establish truth in the midst of the life that we are living in right now. Now more than ever, it's like the church in some way has gotten out of the boat, and I can see it in the spirit. I can see a boat, and I can see a lifeline, and I can see somebody hanging on to the rope. The church is out in the boat, and the line is going out to those that are even in the sea, even into those that are drowning, and there's something of the priority of the Lord in this season. We talked about the different evangelistic things that are going on. There's something about when we begin to hear from God to find out the priorities that he has in this life and to find out the things that are important to him. There's something profound that's going on right now. This is a season of evangelism. And as we hear from the Lord, we're hearing and we're seeing God moving upon even our young people. They're going out to the mall, Christ and Sancerre and Nathan, Bernice, Ezekiel, different ones. They're going out to the mall. They're sharing the gospel with people. We see Ken going out in this season, bringing food with Karina and others going out and sharing the gospel. And Vicky and her group going out and sharing the gospel. There's something about when we align ourselves with the Lord and hear his priorities for our life, that life takes on a whole different meaning. So moving down in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, and the Bible says, and rising, speaking of Jesus, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. There's that same phrase again. What phrase? Desolate place. So it talks about and rising very early in the morning. When you look at the original, it's talking about the fourth watch of the night. What was that? Well, then if you were living in those days and you were a Jew at that time and the fourth watch of a night came, you knew that that was from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. So Jesus went out between 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. to a desolate place, a place where there were no demands. He left his cell phone back with the disciples, and he put it on mute. I'm going to leave my cell phone here. It's not going to be beside me when I pray. I'm not going to see notifications that will distract me when I pray. No, I'm leaving it here, and I'm going to a desolate place. I'm leaving my cell phone there. I'm leaving all the problems there. And why did he go so early in the morning? Because he wanted an atmosphere. What do you mean? It was a desolate place. The time before, there were there were tons and tons and tons of people and demands and opinions and voices and all these different things. Sometimes it's difficult to hear God when all these voices are coming at you, when the phone is pinging away, when there's advertisements coming up. Oh, there's Sister Susie. She's texting me. I better stop praying and just answer this for a minute. No, he went to a desolate place. It was a quiet place. And I know that there are the times where I get up early in the morning, there's such a stillness. Around the spirit in the atmosphere, there is a stillness. While others are asleep, while life is not moving, while traffic is not jamming up, while horns is not beeping, there's something about a very still place. So Jesus was selective about where he went to pray. And I want to say you need to set up a desolate place. I want to say if you don't have a desolate place, you need a desolate place. You need a place where you can go pray, a place where it's quiet, a place where there's no phone, a place where there's no distraction. There's something in the hour in 2026, especially. We heard the prophetic words. This isn't an hour of intimacy. And God is crying out intimacy. God is crying out intimacy. He's crying out for 2026 intimacy. So Jesus knew the key of walking with his Father, starting off in a desolate place. So as we begin to put these things together, he went to a desolate place habitually. And I want to say, in my opinion, that means daily. And he would go into a desolate place where nobody, nothing else was there. Why? To give God the Father first priority. Because if we're at a place where we're praying with our phone right there, God, you might be first for the next minute, but if that thing pings off, you become second. God, you might be first right now, but if I get an advertisement, maybe from Amazon, I might have to slip away to something that's more important in that moment. That is my phone. And the end of the day, that's what the distraction is right now in the midst of life with our phones. They compete with God for the desolate place, for the private place, for the place where we're receiving the plans for our life, where we're receiving the refreshing for our lives. There have been times where I've spent with the Lord where at the end of the time I feel so much better. He begins to speak to me. Life opens up and I think, man, if I had gone in there with the phone at that moment, it would have obliterated that. It would have canceled that. I would have stayed feeling maybe doubtful. Maybe I would have stayed in a worried place. Sometimes I go into prayer and I'm in a worried place. But if I go in with me and my good old phone right here, I might stay in that worried place. There's a lot of things to worry about when you watch the news, when you're watching all the different things that are telling you about life on earth. Man, yesterday I was working on my car and I had all these different things of the news going on at that moment. And at the end, it was like, wow, there's a lot going on right now. And it was bringing me to a worried place in the midst of it. So there's something about being strategic with the most important thing of your life, your relationship with the Lord. There's something about where he says, I desire no other gods before me. Go to the desolate place because I want to bless you. Go to the desolate place because I want to fill you. Go to the desolate place because I want to heal you. Go to the desolate place because I want you to walk in a way where you see my glory and I want to bless your socks off. The desolate place is a good place. It is an essential place. Now, driving here today, I remember thinking when I worked at the hospital, we drove through anything. As long as we could get to the hospital, we got there. Why? Because medical services are an essential service. If somebody's on life support and I say, I don't want to try to get there, guess what? They're on life support and they're in a dangerous place. Maybe there's a nurse that's running cardiac meds and there's a place if they say, well, I don't want want to chance it. I'm not going to go today. And I'm not condemning those that didn't come, but I'm making a point if you stay with me right here. There's something about going into a hospital because it is an essential service and people's lives are hanging in the balance. There's something about when the police show up, even in the midst of a bad storm, because if they don't show up, guess what? The bad guys can really do some damage. There's something about when the paramedics show up to work, right? Because they are trying to save people's lives. If somebody is at the end of a cardiac call and maybe they're going into a dangerous arrhythmia and the paramedic says, no, I don't feel like going. It's a little bit slippery out there. I'm not going to make it. You don't know, that one could go off into eternity. And again, I'm not talking about those that came here or didn't come here. I'm talking about prayer life. I'm talking about your time with the Lord. I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord. That is essential in the day we are living in, because the blue lights are flashing right now. The caution lights are flashing. Where are the essential church? Where's the essential church right now? Life is going to hell. We had a prayer meeting the other night, and the Lord began to confirm, even in the midst of the prayer meeting, the things that we were praying for. I believe prophetically God was confirming amongst us. It's as though we are praying for a Sodom and Gomorrah, and we know that at the other end of that came great destruction. And I want to say right now, we are coming into a place right now, if you don't see judgment looming in the world, then you're blind here today. If you don't see that this is a 911, if you don't see that you have an essential service in your prayer life as the church, there is something that is crying out. What the earth is groaning and travailing right now. You and I are called as an essential servant of the Lord, and our prayer life is at the very head of that place. So I want to encourage you, lift off any blinders. What's a blinder? When the enemy says your prayers aren't doing any good, Ken. What's a blinder? He says, Randy, might as well not pray. It probably won't happen anyways. That's the enemy trying to bring in blinders because he knows that it will happen. Don't fast, man. Look at what's waiting for you right here. Don't fast. That's the lie of the enemy. That's like telling the paramedic, don't go in today. Just put your feet up and take it easy. That's like telling the ICU worker not, when if you say don't pray, don't fast, don't cry out to God, that's like telling the surgeon, they can get along without you. What about the guy at the other end of the surgery that needs the surgeon? There's something deep in the heart of the nation where the church is needed now more than ever before as an essential service for this nation. Because if we do nothing, what then? What then? We have people competing for our Arctic zone. What then? We have people competing for our nation. What then? If we let any kind of force or thing go on in the world and the church does nothing, what then? What then? But I say no, we're called with an essential service call, even in our prayer life with the Lord. Now, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, the Bible says, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when he came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles. He knew the importance of abiding as his first priority in life. He knew that one day he would say, without me, you can do nothing. He knew the importance of hanging on to his power source. He knew the importance to hanging on to his discernment. He knew the importance to hanging on to the thing that ministered deeply in his heart. It was a relationship with the Father. And when you're coming into a very important time in your life and a very important decision, I want to say, don't pick up the phone necessarily and call 8 people, get an average of what everybody's saying, and then find out the best thing to do. Take a vote. How many say this? How many say that? We'll have a quorum here. All in favor, all opposed. Well, you know, sometimes God will speak through. There can be safety in a multitude of counselors, but then if you get people that are just not hearing God, man, they might tell you something that, yeah, today's weather forecast is going to be sunny and 21 degrees, wear shorts, don't worry about it, don't even bring a jacket, and you might step out and say, man, you gave me the wrong information today, it is not 21 degrees, oh, it is in Pensacola, but not here in Hamilton, you gave me the wrong information. That's why Jesus spent all night in prayer. Now, if Jesus spent all night in prayer about a big decision, what is he saying to us? Prayer is important. Prayer matters. Prayer changes everything. It opens you up to a place of miracles. It opens you up to a place of the power of God. It opens you up to a place where things can be things that have ramification for generations to come. If Jesus decided, no, I'm tired, I'm not going to pray tonight, I'm just going to take it easy. I prayed yesterday, man, I'm praying all the time. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm going to go on my phone. I'm just going to relax, going to sleep in. And then he went out to choose his 12 disciples. He's saying, no, don't do that. How important was that decision, and how did he handle the important decision, the important circumstance that he was facing? How did he handle it? He knew, I have got to abide. I've got to talk to my Father. I'm not going to discuss this with the disciples, because at this point, the Bible says that out of his disciples, he chose the 12. What does that mean? That there was a number of people already following him. So day after day, I believe there was a number already coming around, because it says out of his disciples, he chose the 12. He needed to get the right ones. In order to get the right ones, he began to go to God. In order to see the right results, he went to God. In order to see the fruit that would last, he went to God. There's something wonderful that he's saying in the midst of it. I want this thing to work, so I'm going to God all night in prayer, because it's a decision that will affect century after century after century after century after century. And you might say, well, I don't know if I have that kind of a decision to make. Oh, don't you? What happens if you're the one that would lead someone to the Lord, that is going to be even one that is so prolific for the gospel that thousands have come in, and you're meant to be and to meet that one and come into a place of friendship with that one? You don't know what your decisions and what your obedience is about to do on the other side of things that could have a great effect after generation after generation. Who knows? Thursday nights, we're learning how to do deliverance. You might say, well, somebody else can do it. Maybe you're called to walk in a realm of deliverance, and maybe God will bring those into your life that desperately need deliverance, and maybe they're going to commit suicide. Maybe they're going to go do something they wish they hadn't done. Maybe they're going to come into a place where they have been so desperate, there's no hope and no answer. But as the Holy Spirit has led us, even as we feel so strongly to go into this place of deliverance and freedom ministry right now, we just want to obey him, because we don't know what's coming down the pipe for the people that are coming out. We don't know what's happening for their children. We don't know what's happening for the ones that they will meet and come into contact with. His word is a lamp, and it only projects a certain amount of light. And so we heard from him, bring about deliverance and freedom ministry. So we're doing it. And as we go week from week, and the light is shining, we're going week from week, and we're attempting to obey him. You see, we like to have all the different answers all at once. We like for God to say, do this, and if you do, Ken, I'll give you A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and H. All those things will come into place. Does that sound logical? Does that sound reasonable? Come on, Ken, if you just do this, I'll do all these other things with you right there. Let's do it. That sounds very reasonable, God, but that's not the way that he works. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He said to Jesus habitually went into prayer. He needed to draw for that day. He needed to draw for this circumstance. He needed to draw for that circumstance. Before he healed Lazarus, he prayed. He was drawing from the Lord. There's something about him at the baptism where he prayed. When he had his baptism, he was drawing from the Lord. So in the hour that we're living in, especially 2026, this is an hour to draw from the Lord in a wonderful, deep way, to see the Holy Ghost use you, to see God save you from things. Sometimes when I hear from the Lord and I pray, I think, thank God I didn't miss that. Thank God I wasn't on my phone. You don't know what's going to happen. I remember at our summer camp, and I can remember we were into worship and we were praying and we were pressing into God. And as I close my eyes and I tend to see, that's how a lot of how I hear, but I saw this double-barreled shotgun facing toward me. So what does that mean? It means the enemy had an assignment now to try to bring about an attack. And I don't know what that would have looked like, but I was drawing from the Lord. He said, look, there's an attack coming right now. You need to pray. And I bound that thing, took authority over it because I was drawing from the Lord, and it had even an effect in the realm that I'm walking in right now. There's something about hearing God in 2026. Our nation is in the midst of great change. The nations are in the midst of great change. There is a rumbling and a shaking that are going on in the nations of the world right now. There are those with good plans. There are those with evil plans. There's something that is vying for power. There's something that's vying for control in the hour that we're living in right now. And this is a 911 call for your prayer life and for my prayer life habitually. Jesus spoke about Hebrews 5 and verse 7. The Bible says, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. So in that thing, it's talking about in the days of his flesh. That doesn't mean that he was walking with the flesh nature that you and I deal with. It means that he was walking in the days, walking as God incarnate, as a man, the God-man. In those days, what did he do? He knew he offered up prayers and supplication. How? With loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. Now, in that part right there, it's referring to when he went to the cross. But when you look in the original, it's not talking about save him from death in the cross. But he was actually saved. He was crying out. If you go into the original, scholars tell us that he was actually crying out for the resurrection. He wasn't at that moment saying, I'm not going to die. He's saying, I'm going to die. But within that death of the body, within that circumstance, within that thing that I'm going through, I'm crying out to the one that he would give the resurrection power, that he would do what only he could do in the midst of this great trial. I'm about to go to the cross. I know I'm going to die. So the original is talking about within that place of death, he was crying out. And you and I die daily. You and I are in the place of death many, many times where we have to die to self. But it's from within that place as we cry out to the Lord and we hang on to what God is saying in the midst of what you're going through. When you cry out to him and you hang on to the lifeline, God will bring about a resurrection. He'll do something that you're unable to do because you're transitioning from your own thinking, your own power, your own ability. Within the death, if you're crying out and hanging on to him, he'll bring you into a place where his spirit lives. That's why he says, it's no longer I, but it's Christ that lives within. When we're going through those times of dying to self, then we cry out to God habitually. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in us. There's something wonderful about a prayer life that connects you to power. You don't have to run around the mountain 29 times because we just decide not to pray. You know what it's like if you're to run 29 times? Okay, maybe next time I'll pray. No, I think I've got this figured out. No, maybe next. No. I can try it my way one more time. I know I tried the same thing, but I'm going to try the same thing again, Ken. And I'm going to go around, but we run around and run around and run around the mountain, and the enemy says, see, your Christian life doesn't work. See, God's forgotten about you. God doesn't love you. Look how terrible you are. And in the midst of running around in our own strength and our own power, the enemy begins to bombard with all kinds of different lies, and he puts things in your mind in the midst of the battle to bring you down, to bring you closer to your phone, to bring you closer to your own thinking. There's something about in the midst of when we're going through the death of self, when we cry out to God, not always necessarily to save us from the circumstance, but God, let your will be done. Manifest your glory. The end of that scripture, it says, and he was heard because of his reverence. His reverence was acknowledging where his strength came from. His reverence was acknowledging God's plan, not my plan. His reverence was acknowledging his dependency upon God, and God heard his prayers. God is not out to rip you off. He's not out to destroy. That's what the enemy did in the garden. As you know, if you follow God, Eve, you're going to get ripped off right here. If you really follow God, Randy, he's going to rip you off, man. You're not going to have a life that's going to be all that happy. God will rip you off. That's what the devil was saying in the garden. That's what he said, Eve. If you eat from this that God said don't eat from, you're going to be like God. You're going to experience these wonderful things. And that's the lie of the enemy. That's what the enemy does in the midst of when you're going through times when you're dying to self, when things aren't going according to your plan or my plan. There's something when the enemy speaks that he'll give you a way out. He'll say, yeah, come through this door right here, but you don't know that on the other end of the door, there's a tiger that's waiting to devour you. There's something about crying out to God daily in our habitual, relational, getting to know him prayer life, where God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that what we could even ask or think. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, I'm asking, O God, that, Lord, that you will, Father, move upon our hearts today. And I want you just right now, if you're online, I want you right now, if you're here, I want, if there are adjustments that need to be done, I want you to speak to the Lord. I believe the Holy Spirit's been speaking to us today. If there are things that need to be realigned, if there needs the truth to come into a situation or situations to be tweaked or modified or changed, or if there's repentance, ask the Lord right now to bring about an alignment. To bring about an alignment. Now, with the snow that's falling and all that, I'm not going to do an altar call, but with every eye closed and every head bowed, if you need an alignment, just as an indication, just raise your hand to the Lord and put it down. Just let him know. Just let him know you need a new alignment in areas of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Father, I thank you, Lord, for repositioning us in this hour in 2026. Father, I pray, dear God, that there would be, Father, your divine strategy for my brother here today. Father, let your divine strategy, divine outcome be released, Father, in the people, Father, in the homes online. Father, we're asking, oh God, that there would be revelatory realms that would open up. Father, that there would be grace for the high place. Father, we pray, dear God, that there would be an anointing, Father God, Lord, that we would hear from you, Father, that we would move in a different realm by your Spirit. Father, forgive us where our phones have become, Father God, more important than you. Father, forgive us, oh God, where the things of this world have bided for our attention and we've set those things above you. Father, we repent. Father, forgive us where we, Father, acknowledge the things of the world, the crowds and the many voices on the internet and our friends. Father, forgive us, oh God, where we've allowed these things to rule and reign. And I just see somebody, it's like they're peeling off a garment. If you feel as though, just as a prophetic act, that you need to peel off a garment, maybe it's a garment of phone use, or maybe it's a garment of carnal thinking, or maybe it's a garment of your will being done, just with all eyes closed, peel that off right now. Peel off the old garments. I can see it in the spirit. Just peel it off right now. Just peel off that old garment off of you right now. Peel it off. Just let that thing go. Take it off. The Bible says to clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you. Let's put on his word. Let's put on the truth of his word. And the things that we've heard today, let's put that on and let's walk and live with that. That is our source. His word, his life, that is our source. So, Father, we commit, Father God, this day into your hands. And, Father, we pray, O God, that you would lead us and guide us. And, Father, I take authority over every demonic spirit now that would try to bring in heaviness or burden. I command every demonic spirit now that would try to bring in weightiness, that would try to bring in even that would weigh you down. I take authority over every spirit that would try to weigh you down in the battle. Everything that would try to pull you down in the midst of the battle, I take authority over that spirit of heaviness. I take authority over the spirit of worry. I take authority over the spirit of worry. Command it to come all the way up and all the way off, all the way up and all the way off now. Spirits of worry, you come all the way off now. In Jesus' name, we drive out the spirit of worry. We drive out the spirit of heaviness and burden. We command heaviness and burden you lift off of God's people now. We command you to lift. We command you to go. Heaviness, burden, worry, and fear all the way off now. Everything that's come into your back, everything that's brought about back pain, spirits of stress, I command you to come off the back. Spirits of stress, I command you to come off the mind. If you feel as though your memory isn't what you need it to be, if you feel as though you're struggling with a foggy mind, we break that power off the mind. We command every mind-binding spirit, every tormenting spirit that comes on the mind, even on those that are online, I command every spirit of unforgiveness, every spirit of division, every spirit of strife, I command you to lift, I command you to go. Every spirit that's trying to set up division in your family, division in your life, we command that unclean spirit now to lift. We command that unclean spirit to go. We break that power in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We command it to lift off of you, off of your mind, off your family. Every spirit of sabotage, spirits of sabotage, trying to sabotage your walk with God, trying to sabotage what he's called you to do. I take authority over the spirit of sabotage. We break that power in the name of Jesus. Sabotage, you come all the way up and all the way out, all the way up and all the way out, all the way up and all the way out now. Everything trying to sabotage the plan of God for your life now, I break that assignment in the name of Jesus. Everything trying to destroy relationships in your life, we break that power. We command it to go. We command it to lift. We command it to come all the way off now. Every relational spirit trying to bring about even division, strife, I command that thing to go. Spirits of unforgiveness, I command you to go. If there's someone in your heart you know you need to forgive, you that are here, you that are online, this is very, very important. This is key. If you know you need to forgive somebody, you need to forgive them now. Make a choice to forgive. Say, Father, I need your help to forgive, but I choose to do so. God will honor that kind of prayer. I bind up spirits of unforgiveness. I command spirits of pride, unforgiveness. I command you to lift. I command you to go. Pride, unforgiveness. But I'm right. I command that spirit of pride to lift and go. But they didn't apologize. That's a warfare going on in your mind right now. That's the warfare going on. Look what they did. If you're being rehearsed upon in your mind what someone has done and just going over and over your mind, that's a demon spirit. And we command it now to lift. We command it to go. We command it to come all the way off now. We drive out that power. We break that stronghold, that mental torment, spirits of isolation, spirit of rejection. We command those spirits now to lift now. Spirits of isolation that's trying to isolate people away from the body, from each other now. I break that spirit of isolation. I command it now to lift. I command it now to go. We drive out that unclean spirit now in the mighty name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus. We break that spirit of isolation. We command it now to lift. We command it to go. Father, we pray that you would work these situations out. Father, the situations that we're handing over to you today, we pray that you would work it out. We've tried and we don't know how. Father, we need your grace to forgive. We need your grace, Father God, to walk it out according to your will and power. Father, in the midst of dying to self, we reach out for the resurrection power that you would work this out, that you would change it, rearrange it, that you would work out something that we are unable to work. So, Father, we release you to work in our family. We release you to work in our friends. We release you to work in the people that we know in our ministries and our calls. We release you to work, Father God, miracles. Father, we bless each and every one here today. Father, let there be, Lord, a great triumphant move of your Spirit as we open the door and we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. So I command every spirit released in this place to go. Every spirit released at home, every spirit released online, I command it now to lift. I command it to go in the mighty name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that there would be a washing of water. Father, let there be a cleansing. Let there be a peace. Father, every way that someone's been hurt or rejected, Father, I pray that there would be just such a healing anointing. Let there be a healing anointing upon families, a healing anointing upon friends, a healing anointing upon coworkers. Father, let there be a healing anointing released today. And Lord, as we cry out to you, we thank you there's a shift and a change happening right now in the atmosphere. So, Father, we commit this day into your hands. We pray for, Lord, that you would bring us home safely, securely, Father God, navigate our cars, our vehicles. And Lord, we're thanking you that the victory is yours, the battle is yours. And Father, we thank you. Let's give him praise today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Well, be blessed. Be safe as you drive, as you walk home. And we're believing angels around cars, angels, Father God, Lord, in the midst of the traffic. Father, we're believing for supernatural abilities, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And those of you that are online, we bless you. Let the power of the Spirit of the Lord come upon you. God's unusual favor to come upon you in your situation. God's favor and goodness and blessing.